Welcome back to the WFO Life Podcast. In episode 70, we're going to talk about the value of simplicity. How many times in life do we overcomplicate things, both in the choices that we make, the projects that we take on, and how we manage our relationships? This is a huge and important topic that many people struggle with. And I think this was a great conversation and an eye-opener for those listening. Welcome to the WFO Life Podcast. Buckle up for interviews, insights, and practical discussions, and the occasional intellectual oddity, all designed to help you master self, master craft, and accomplish any life mission.
Recently, I had a most trying day, one filled with responsibilities which taxed my strength to the utmost. Coming from a conference where some community problems had weighed rather heavily, I had 40 minutes in which to reach home and eat dinner before having to meet another problem. I was tired and emotionally exhausted. When I came into the house laughing, my wife was puzzled, for she knew what kind of day I had had. "What happened?" she asked. I replied, she asked. I replied, "I have just met a great man." "What's his name?" "I do not know his name, but he is a great man. He runs an elevator in the building from which I just came from. I've just discovered that exuberant good nature is bound up with the human race. That elevator operator had challenged me with such a merry spirit and with such a good-natured line of chafing that in one brief moment, my whole universe had changed and the burdens of the world had shifted their weight a little. The contagion of one joyous spirit had made itself felt through the lives of many persons that evening. Our lives are bound up with other lives. The joys, sorrows, and needs of others are part of us. Our goodwill or our meanness are reflected in the lives of others." So that's an excerpt from kind of a book that is part of my morning routine. And it's by a pastor of a church from a long time ago. His name is H. Othman Smith, Church of Redeemer, Yonkers, New York. So, when I read these readings each morning, they're about that length, but you know, sometimes they have more impact than others. And what I took away from that, besides you know, what he spells out there, is just the power of simplicity. And sometimes we can get a lot of value and a lot of power out of valuing seemingly the least in our lives and our daily interactions. So I thought we could bounce that around a little bit today.
Yeah, I like that. It's an eye opener, and it's something that I think almost anyone can relate to. I know when you were reading that story, you know, I think some of my days are just nonstop, one complication after another. I mean, by definition, my job is a troubleshooter. You know, that's kind of what I do. I troubleshoot issues. And man, there's just days that sometimes it seems very difficult to stay in the present moment and focus on what's in front of me. And it's easy if you don't pay attention to lose focus of how the little things moment to moment and it can make a big difference. And also, one thing that struck me in that reading was how everyone else around us, they are us. We are the same. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a powerful thing that our behavior, our attitudes, of course it starts with attitudes, affects everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, I was taken aback in a good way when I was reading this to, you know, some of my experience over the past 6 months. And one of the things in relation to this that we talked about was you know, I don't know how else to say it, but you know, we get caught up in our own bullshit,
right.
You know, and like you were mentioning, you know, whether or not you have a stressful or stressful, I don't even think it's a good word. I mean, for the most part with jobs, I think it's more like if you have a lot of things going, a lot of complexity, you know, because you can have a lot of complexity and a lot of responsibilities without having stress. And I think that sometimes people use those synonymously, and it's easy. I mean, we all have gone through it. You get caught up. You're like, man, my life's so stressful. My job's so stressful. And then if you break it down into pieces, you're like, well, in and of itself, it's not stressful. It's, you know, there. I'm lucky that people depend on me to make decisions, or I'm lucky that people, you know, need me to figure out that complexity. So I think it's a, you know, this made me think of that too. It's all about perspective and how you frame things, right? I mean, like you could say, I'm very fortunate to have, you know, a position that compensates me well. And because of that, I'm expected to be the one people, you know, look up to for things, right?
It's a different, and to, you know, to solve big problems sometimes. And that's part of the job. One thing that also struck me, you know, we interviewed Eric Davis, best-selling author, Navy SEAL, and one of the things he was bringing up in our talk is this idea of negotiating complexity in life. And sometimes we get lost in the weeds because life is complex, and there are actually tools that we can use to help us negotiate that. So I think that's another aspect of this. One thing that, it's funny you brought this up. In my morning reading, I periodically have three or four books that I pick up, and one of them was one of Eckhart Tolle's books, A New Earth. And I think the subtitle is Finding Your Purpose. And periodically I read it because it's in sections where, like, the section I read was basically on the concept of living in the present moment and where and what is happiness. And why, you know, how can you just have happiness? And his point was being in the present moment and not being in our heads worried about things in the future that may never happen or things in the past that have already gone on and we can't do anything about. When your author in the reading that you started this with mentioned, you know, he had this very busy day, very stressful, but he was being in the present moment to interact with someone, you know, an elevator man, that had this, you know, attitude, this positive attitude that challenged him to reflect positively on his day. That's also the value of being in the present moment. So it's interesting you brought that up, because my reading this morning was centered on that concept of many of the troubles that we run into are worrying about things that have never happened or might never ever happen. And then, of course, excessively festering on things that we can't change.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of, you know, what you get out of being in that present moment and really focusing on others, it takes the burden off of you. I think that's why so many people get things out of volunteer work or, you know, helping their children, you know, or helping a friend or a family member. And, you know, Tosh talked about this in some of our interaction, not so much the podcast, but my personal interaction with him in our leadership program. And he said, he gave an example of, you know, going into the grocery store and, you know, you look at the face of the cashier. And now, I mean, you almost have to look in their eyes or look at their body language because they're probably wearing a mask and there's like a shield up in front of you in some cases. And he said, you know, you can tell they're stressed out. It's a busy day. And, you know, the simple act of, you know, looking at their name tag and say, hey, Karen, you know, are you having a good day? Yeah, you know, what's going on? Has it been, you know, just having some personal interaction to take somebody out of a moment. And you might know that person, but he framed it in the, I guess, in the same vein of volunteering or helping others. He said, sometimes if somebody presents themselves in a certain way that allows you to give them a gift, then you get a little shot of dopamine that you might from, you know, helping somebody in need. It's not the same kind of thing, but he talked about that. And it was funny. We were on the side of a mountain and I had my little, you know, camp cup or canteen cup, you know, thinking that he had mentioned like, hey, you want to bring this in case, you know, we have some soup out there or, you know, make some hot cocoa. And I think the plans changed a little bit, and I guess they had put out some individual packages of cocoa, and then one of the guys just brought a thing of hot water. Well, I had my cup, but I didn't have I didn't grab a cocoa packet, you know.
Right.
And we were watching the sunrise, and it was like kind of a cool moment. And, you know, Tosh just happened to be sitting close to me and taking it in, and I was holding my cup and there's nothing in it. He's like, you didn't make any cocoa, man? I was like, oh, well, I brought the cup, but for some reason I wasn't thinking right and I didn't grab a cocoa packet. He's like, well, you know what? He's like, I brought one, and he's like, you want to share it with me? You know, and
yeah.
And he, you know, he's really good about, you know, being in the moment of why we're there and stuff. And he's like, let me give you that gift. You know, he's like, I don't need a whole cup of cocoa. And he's like, I want to, you know, you'd have the same experience drinking cocoa as the sun's coming up. So let me give you that gift, you know, and it's kind of a cool, it's simple, right? But it's just like the story. And if you are constantly seeking out, you know, interactions with people that have value, even if it's limited and even if it's, you know, seemingly minor, it's the same thing like having a gratitude journal. Like you're just living your life like to try to have positive human interactions, you know, versus just like, you know, thinking about all your own bullshit, like I said earlier, you know. So,
and you know, and that also hit me too, thinking about the concept of being, you know, a lot of people live their lives sort of unconscious. It's an unconscious behavior to have meaningless interactions with people. Like, say, like you said, you go through a store, you interact with someone, you look them in the eye, and then there's a difference between being genuine and asking, how are you today? Are you having a good day? And actually listening for the answer, or reflexively saying, how are you today? Oh, I'm good. How are you? But there really was no expectation that the answer was going to come. And the difference is being conscious to your personal interactions and not being sort of in automaton mode, which I think at times we're all guilty of getting into. And I know I do.
Yeah. I mean, and you can tell if somebody's being genuine, you know, even right. If you know that it's expected in a customer service situation, you know, if somebody is engaging with you and you know, at least trying to be genuine, it might be part of their job, but, you know, like Chick-fil-A, you know, they always say, you know, they always end it with like, my pleasure, and be like, right. You know, thank you. Or it's like, you know, and they're really good about, I think, training a mindset into their employees.
Right.
And that's the big part of it, right? That is where you go from being, you know, just like it's on the friggin' placard in front of them. Like, you know, say thank you. Is there anything else I can get you, you know, with your meal or, you know, whatever. So it's different, like you said, being an automaton versus like, you know, taking maybe a little extra time and training their employees and saying, hey, you know, this personal interaction with people can make your job more fulfilling. And it's part of our ethos. It's part of our culture of who we are. And so I think it's the why, you know, if you can plant the seeds of, you know, why, I mean, in our discussion, it's like, why to be a human who acts like this, right? But in that
right.
case, it's like, hey, if you have, I mean, that's why this culture idea is so huge, because you look at the companies that people are truly wowed by, a lot of it is because the culture. I mean, think about, you know, Amazon, you know, package, you know, how people are amazed at the efficiency of how Amazon can get your packages to you. And it's not just because they have this, you know, super gangster computer system, which they obviously do and they created, and it's like, you know, very robust and they have a lot of resources. But you think about it, if there weren't people troubleshooting the inevitable things that go wrong, if there weren't people like making sure that it's like, hey, when this ticket pops out, like, you know, you have to go, you know, get involved because something screwed up with the automation. So, I mean, there is something built into their culture that doesn't allow, you know, that many failures versus like, hey, you know, here's a list of things and, you know, don't screw it up or you're going to be on report, you know? So
yeah,
it's a different culture mindset, I guess.
Now, we probably ought to do an entire episode or book review of Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence. But
as
we were talking about this topic, somebody might be thinking, a listener to this show might be thinking, well, how do I do that? How do I, what tool set? I'm not good with people, or they might, you know, I want to be more engaged with those around me, but I feel awkward, or I don't have the right tools, or I don't communicate the way I should. there are tools that are well laid out by Dale Carnegie in the, you know, in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence. That book lays out exactly how to engage with other people and how to do it successfully. And if you do that, you're being genuine. It's not a tool to become a tool. It's a tool that shows you how to genuinely engage with other people in a meaningful way that makes them want to be a part of your life or want to communicate and to contribute to whatever your mission is. It's how to build connections with people. And it's kind of interesting that you brought this up, because that ties directly in with his work. And maybe we'll put that in the show notes, you know, a link to Dale Carnegie's book for those that have never heard of him. In fact, I thought everybody had heard of him, but I mentioned this to young folks, and I saw, you know, a couple teenagers in recent months, and I mentioned that book and they'd never heard of him. And I'm like, wow, you know, it's like the classic.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I have some friends of mine that are very intelligent, but are more natural introverts.
Right.
And I know that just through open conversation with them in certain settings, they've mentioned that book because it does lends itself to anybody who's willing to take on the message. But I think it's especially helpful for the people you mentioned, like people that are not naturally good with people, you know, right. that they need like a code, you know, or something to decode their interactions with people. And so I know that for one friend of mine in particular, who's, you know, highly intelligent, very capable, but he's always had a hard time engaging with people. And I'm pretty sure he mentioned that book, like he found it in college and it was a game changer for him, because he's just like, hey, you know, I can use this as a menu of options on how to, you know, engage with people and get things done. And I think, you know, even more importantly, you know, everybody is maybe more comfortable with, say, maybe girls talking to girls, or girls or boys are more comfortable talking to girls, or you're comfortable with talking with people in certain settings, like at church or in casual conversation. You're good. Like a passing, you know, interaction at a store, or like the story said with the elevator guy. But you have a hard time when it's just like expected for you to go on extended conversations, like at a dinner party, you know, or, you know, in a very small group. It's like, well, you can kind of practice, you know, these things in settings that you are more comfortable with. So when you're inevitably in those more uncomfortable situations, you're like, okay, I have a little bit more experience in using this method, so I can use it in these more uncomfortable settings. You know, it's like anything else. If you got to practice it, you know, and be mindful and be deliberate about it, and, you know, good things will happen.
Yeah, this is definitely a reminder. I like this topic you brought up, because it's a reminder of a skill set we all need to use. And it's, the other thing is, I think it just is a reminder that we need to be authentic in our lives. I think that's, you know, if you're trying to get the most out of life, and like, I mean, nobody gets out of this alive, right? So, but we want to have the best experience possible, be the most productive, engage, and hopefully, you know, have a mission in life that, you know, maximizes benefits to those around you, including your family and others you influence. But to do that, we have to be authentic in our relationships with other people, and also be truthful to ourselves, you know. And if we're unhappy, or if we're a source of negativity, if you will, for other people, we're impacting other lives with our sour behavior, you know. And so we can't let external circumstances, we can't let those external circumstances and setbacks and things like that drive our behavior excessively. Otherwise, we affect everyone else around us. And then the overall quality of life, the best ride experience, if you will, goes down as the years go by. And I think it's an excellent topic, man.
Yeah, I think one of the other things I was thinking about on this mindset is something that is below the surface of what we've talked about is just expecting something good to happen out of an interaction, right? Because I think a lot of people, especially people that aren't good at spontaneously talking to people, they, you know, it might be with the way they grew up, or they had negative interactions when they've tried to put themselves out there. But I think that if you can purge those thoughts and feelings and say, hey, if somebody reacts negatively to a genuine showing of like you want to have a human interaction with somebody, then that says more about them than it does about you. Because you can only control your intentions. And if your intentions are good, that you're going to walk around and like, hey, I'm going to try to have, you know, it doesn't have to be every, you know, interaction, but you can say, hey, I'm going to go to the grocery store or I'm going to go to dinner and I'm going to go out of my way to have a positive, you know, human interaction with, you know, the wait staff or, you know, with the cashier or, you know, even with my car salesman. You know, you think about times that are you know, even people going to the doctor. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you see people all the time that kind of have that white coat anxiety when you come in the room, you can see the color drain out of their face. And so I think if you're expecting good things to happen, you know, with your human interaction, and even if it's, you know, in some cases false because you have scar tissue from, you know, bad interactions, you know, it's kind of like Rex House said. I mean, it's almost like manifesting things, you know, that you got to tell yourself before you go into it, like, hey, I'm going to have a good interaction. I'm going to have a good visit with the doctor. I'm going to have a good, you know, visit with the used car salesman, which is not typically a, you know, a happy interaction. And it's amazing. You know, I think your batting percentage goes up, you know, when you generally have an outlook like that.
Yeah, you know, a couple of years back, I was working with some semi-pro men's soccer players. And one of the things that I was trying to do from a leadership perspective as the assistant coach was I was trying to encourage these players, you know, to be the best versions of themselves and have this imagery of themselves as full-on professional players. And one of the things that I always talked to them about, and I would do it before games, but then as the season went on, I tried to explain to them, I want you to do this with everything you do, every training session, every interaction with other human beings, maybe if you do an interview, things like that, you know, with media. So I asked them to have intention in everything. What is the intent I have for this interaction? So So it started with games. Like I would ask them well before the game starts. So we're in the locker room, we're warming up, and I would kind of challenge them, and then I would go back and ask, and I would say, you know, what is your intent for this game? Not just a goal, because a goal is fine. That's kind of a goal. But the intent to me is more of a behavioral, emotional energy that you're going to bring to something. And, you know, sometimes they would say things like, well, you know, I want to combine well with my teammates. I want to impact the game positively by scoring X, Y, Z, or I want to be better defensively. You know, they would say things. And I said, and when, you know, and that would help them understand that win, lose, or draw is, you know, you have an intent that you start with. And I also told them when you give let's call it a media interview, because they would get interviewed all the time by the local news. And I would say, what is it you want to project? What is the intent you want? How do you want to portray yourself, your club, your owner, all of these types of things? And I think it's something that some of them, you know, not everybody takes away everything you're teaching, but I think some of the guys did take that away, and it helps you be, it's another tool to keep oneself in the game, so to speak, focused on what's in front of you right now. And if you have an intent to say, today I'm going to have, you know, meaningful interactions with every person I come across, that's going to make you, it's going to put you in a mindset where you're focused on the present. And you don't let little quality details go by in your interactions.
Yeah, it may, and I'm sure that they initially probably looked at you like, "Oh, coach, what do you mean? I want to go out there and I want to win." And it's like, "Well, that's true, but I mean, that's what everybody wants to do. What do you want to do? You know, what is your intent? And you know, put your own spin on it." Because I know for me, when I've had to give, my way of thinking and my delivery and my interaction with people is good for delivering certain types of content and not so good for other types of content, if that makes sense. You know, so like certain people are very good about, you know, describing, you know, detailed, complex data, you know, where it's like it's heavily like scripted and rehearsed, and like, you know, I'm going to click on this and I'm going to point at this chart and go counterclockwise around the slide. Where me, I prefer to have two or three bullets up there, and I may have the same data, but I may want to have it just like in my hand so that I can tell the story about it, you know, versus some other person that has a different delivery and a different way of thinking. It took me a long time and a lot of different successes and failures to figure that out, where, you know, some people, if they don't have almost a rehearsed word for word script, then, you know, they're a basket case,
right?
You know, whereas me, if I have to deliver something in that way, just because it is what it is, I'm kind of a basket case with that, because I want to, you know, look at people and tell a story and engage, you know, up, down, left, right of it, and try to explain it as a narrative, you know, almost like a parable,
right.
You know, so I'm more of like a parable, you know, teller, you know, storyteller, that I can get the things across, where other people want to be, you know, very bullet by bullet, because that's their security blanket. So I think for me, you know, knowing the setting ahead of time, and, you know, I'm you know, talking about more in like a professional setting, but it can apply in the same things we talked about earlier. It's like, if you know, hey, you kind of fumble the first thing out of your mouth when you're trying to engage with somebody, well, you might need to say, hey, if I want to be deliberate about this, I'm going to say, you know, hey, how's your day, you know, or whatever, you know, to kind of rehearse it a little bit so you don't screw up the first 10 seconds of your interaction, you know,
because you're
not spontaneous, you know.
Right.
So I think that, you know, whether it be giving an interview for the local sports caster, like you mentioned, or just having a positive interaction, you got to know yourself a little bit and say, well, maybe the reason why I hate doing things like that is because I just walk up thinking I'm going to have it figured out, when I'm the kind of person that always has to have it, you know, rehearsed a little bit ahead of time. You know, I'm not spontaneous. And so I think that, yeah, I mean, you know, not to overthink it, but just, you know, be simple, not worry about your own BS so much, and try to have good interactions with people. And it really helps, I think, your mental health.
You know, as we wrap this very cool topic up, one of the things I was thinking about is how sometimes I run across people that seems like everything's going against them. You probably run across people like that, where it's like,
yeah,
you know, if I didn't have any luck, it'd be, you know, if it didn't bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. That kind of sort of,
yeah.
You know, it's just everything, it expecting, like you said, something to be negative, or like everybody treats me this way. A lot of these sort of declarative statements that like this is going to be because everyone always treats me badly. If most of your interactions are negative, generally you should look in the mirror. You know, that's kind of what I think of when I hear that, because, you know, as the author in your reading at the very beginning of this episode said, you know, how you project yourself will change those around you. We are the other people as well. We're all the same. We're all, you know, we are our brother, so to speak. And our actions, our attitudes, and how we view the world will change those around us. And boy, the world needs a lot more, you know, positive attitudes, and a lot more, I think, a lot more genuine personal touch with other people.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Powerful.
Any final thoughts, man, on this?
Not so much on this. I think I don't, or, you know, we don't probably plug this enough, but, I know more people download and listen than probably have liked and commented on our various platforms. But, if you search us, you know, just WFO Live Podcast on Instagram and give us a follow, same thing on Facebook, Twitter, you know, Spotify, iTunes, you know, we're kind of expanding. There's probably a couple other platforms we should, but, you know, we put a lot of thought into our website postings and really everything we do. So I know I get benefit out of following, you know, the Daily Stoic and Jocko and Dave Goggins and some of the people we talk about. So it would be nice to have, you know, as many people that listen to the podcast on their own platform, kind of follow us and like us so that they can see some of the other stuff we put out. So I'll put a plug.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for saying that. And I also wanted to give a shout out. I noticed we've had a lot of folks from the WordPress group. You know, there's, you know, we use WordPress to post our podcast out. And I've noticed a lot of the recent comments and downloads have been through that group. So I really appreciate them. And I do the best I can to try to look at some of their content. You know, we got a lot of other people that are putting out cool podcasts and things like that. So, you know, about every third one, I'm able to kind of go back and see what they're about. But I really appreciate the feedback that they have been giving to our show and checking it out and sharing it too. I've noticed that that's, you know, been shared quite a bit. And, you know, I think some of the material we put out is helpful for people. I mean, at very least, it's a little bit of positivity, a little bit of, positive, let's call it psychology and philosophy that people can use. And I think most of it's practical. I mean, most people could hear the topic we did today and say, yeah, I can relate to that, you know, to some extent, and maybe I can apply a little bit more of it in my own life. So, Chris, I appreciate you saying all of that, and I look forward to meeting with you again next week. And until then, I'll sign off.
Thanks, out.